así.
4K. Fantasy. It's a war.
It's a war.
You have, like, the little kids' ones that you, like, plug into a computer and it says, like, read along with the book.
I'm ready
to
play.
At the sound of the tone, flip the page.
I'm ready to play Oregon Trail.
Yeah, pretty much. You've died of dysentery.
No. Everyone else dies of dysentery.
Everyone has died of dysentery. No, I got the sweet headphones. They're actually really nice. My problem is they don't cover up a lot of the background noise like those do, the ones that you got. These are okay.
Well, these cover up the background noise because they leave your ears in a crushing vice grip.
Yeah.
You're like,
Quaid, start the reactor.
Yeah, we understand. Damn it, give these people air.
Cohagen, give the Martians air.
Give these people air.
Anyway, welcome to...
God damn, that movie's good.
Welcome to Game Classy, episode 30. 1.5 or it was 32.5, whatever we want to give.
On the subject of Schwarzenegger films.
Wait, hold on. Let me finish the intro. I'm Joe, and the host, and with me as always is the Elaine Boozler to my Paula Poundstone, Steve.
Paula Poundstone? Why is that familiar?
I don't know. She's a female comedian from the 1980s.
All right, okay. No, one thing about Schwarzenegger films, there's a little film. You may have heard of it.
Hercules in New York?
It's called Predator.
Oh.
No. Now, here's the thing about Predator. Predator is on TV, like if I'm...
Yeah.
If
John
I'm
McTiernan,
going through TV...
The classic film.
If Predator is on...
So much muscle
On demand
mass.
Or... Yeah, most muscle mass per capita of any film.
Yes.
If it's on, I watch it.
Yes.
I will stop whatever I'm doing.
I will not disagree with that.
And I'll just watch Predator.
Yeah.
It's just like, Predator's on. Anyway, I'm late to something, and it's like, what the fuck? And you're like an hour and a half late. And it's just like, Predator. Predator.
I can't help it. Anyway, not that anybody knows except for Kevin. He'll be the other one who hears this. I lost
Joe is a master wizard.
Okay. In my defense, this I've done over about 150 podcasts, and I've only lost one podcast the entire time I've ever done podcasts. This was the only time I've ever legitimately lost a podcast. Just nothing was recorded. You know, sometimes I'll be in the middle of a podcast and I'll like look and I'll be like, oh shit, we stopped recording. I got to go back and record. Now, how much do we have to record back? Okay, 20 minutes. That's different. This time I lost an hour podcast.
It was an hour and a half.
It was an hour 10. Yeah. So I apologize to Kevin Bates. Sorry, Kevin. It was a good podcast. It was really good. I had a fun time recording it. Well, not recording it, but, you know, anyway.
Yep. It's lost to the annals of time. The annals of time.
You know, it's a good thing, though, because there were certain things that I wanted to hit on the podcast, but I just totally forgot about. Like I do all the time. I just blank on certain things. For example, we were talking about paints a little earlier, the GW airbrush paints. Yes.
It's kind of amusing because Kevin texted me and told me to ask you about those airbrush paints.
I'm gonna talk about them right now. Minotaur, the Badger paints. We talked about them a couple podcasts back, and we said, you know, I'll try them when we get them. Games Plus got them. I picked up a couple of them. Oh my god! If you use an airbrush, do yourself a favor and pick up these paints. They are unbelievable. Now they're not just like some people think like, oh, they're just thinning down paints. They're not. It's whatever medium they're using makes it flow super nice, like unbelievably nice. To the point where you don't need to even cut it down anything. It's just poured right in and it goes. Okay, first off, that's great. Second thing is it's thick enough that you can still dip your brush in it and paint with it. It's going to take a couple coats to go over something if you need to, but for touch-up work, it's great. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
That sounds like a pretty sweet paint system.
It very much is. And the colors, I got a chance to look at them. It's not gradated like Reaper. You know, Reaper has the triad system, or GW has a quasi. You know, they have the base layer and then ink system. It's not as good as that, but I feel that if you wanted to, you can actually mix and match your own paints, and you can mix and match and make your own colors and gradation systems and make it work just as well because of how thin they are. I give it like the highest recommendation I can if you have paints, if you have an airbrush, if you have an airbrush. Games Plus is selling is selling Badger airbrushes now too.
Oh really?
Yeah. So I mean,
if I didn't see that. How much are they? Oh wait, the airbrushes. No. The compressor is the expensive part.
The compressor is always the expensive part. Airbrushes are usually like $100.
Because I'll say I have Bison dollars, I could do that. But if they don't have the compressor, then
Bison. Come on, let's do some Bison quotes. Come on, Steve. I know you want to do it.
I know.
Come on.
All right.
Fine. Should I set it up
for you? The day Bison came to your village was the most important day of your life. For me, it was Tuesday. We should expand the food court. All the major franchises will want in.
As I said when you said these quotes all yesterday, I only saw Street Fighter once in my life, and
I've only seen it maybe twice.
Oh God, it's such a terrible movie. However, I do remember
what's wrong, Commander Guile? You came here expecting to fight a madman, and instead you found a god.
I only remember that G.I. Joe, the little 3.5-inch figures, did a whole line when Street Fighter came out.
Yeah. And they had vehicles.
They had vehicles, and they were awesome.
Yeah. There was, like, the Blanca tank, and it's, like, Blanca's in it.
Blanca tank. Blanca tank.
That was out of control.
And speaking of Blanca dollars, we're going to... I want to...
Bison dollars.
Sorry. Blanca dollars are better.
No, Blanca dollars are only accepted in the Dominican Republic and Guam.
I thought he was in...
He's from
Brazil.
That makes it even weirder.
It makes it even weirder. Speaking of Bison dollars and funny money and all that stuff, Games Plus Auction was last week. And I know to people who listen around the United States and around the world, and especially that one asshole who hates our theme music.
That one guy. We have some Canadian fans, too. Dude, that one guy talking about the Mighty Sandwich, the Stormbringer.
Is he from Canada?
It is. Okay. That's why I said he suggested poutine, and I was like, yeah, that sounds great.
Oh,
you should do that.
Yeah.
Because he's Canadian, and he's fucking allowed.
So I'm allowed.
You're not Canadian, sir.
That doesn't mean I can't enjoy delicious French fries and gravy. And cheese curds.
Oh, it does.
Okay. And occasionally maybe pork belly put inside of it. I was saying you can listen to Steve. You can listen to me. You could go on the forums and listen to all of the neckbeards complain about a game or say that this game is stupid and no one plays this game and blah, blah, blah. But you never can really know what's going on with the pulse of the people till you go to a mini game auction and you see what people are buying and for what prices. This comes down to Lord of the Rings, a game that Steve and I, even though we disagree on many a games, equally revile.
Yeah, it's miserable, but it is highly collectible.
Okay, and just to cover the bases on Lord of the Rings, the models are cool, the system is actually pretty solid, the stat lines are terrible, the pricing is outrageous, and the way that they want you to play it is just god-awful. Kevin, I'll say what he said yesterday about it, is that War of the Ring is actually a pretty cool rule system. I like War of the Ring, too. I don't think it's that great, but it's decent. I'm not going to complain about
it. Still, it's written by Alessio Cavatore. Man knows how to write rules.
And the Kings of War and all that fun stuff. But I hate the game. I think it's stupid. It's like, it's a what the fuck, what's the point game? You know, no one really cares about...
But Joe, I want to know if Aragorn and Gandalf can defeat those 17 Uruk-hai.
Argon.
Argo? Ben Affleck? Dude, how many points is Ben Affleck?
Affleck's in the game? Affleck's in the game.
If Affleck's in the game, I'm changing my whole position on it.
You know, Will, the high point of my day is going up to your house. Thinking, knocking on the door and thinking, maybe he's not there. Maybe he went somewhere. I don't know. I can't do the line. I wish I could. You know Good Will Hunting? You've seen Good Will Hunting, right?
Nope.
You've never seen Good Will Hunting?
Never seen Good Will Hunting.
I mean, it's not like a movie that I say you have to see.
I'm going to go to the Cat. I've seen Good Will Hunting, too. Hunting season. Applesauce, bitch.
Oh, no, Will. What are we going to do now? So Lord of the Rings is there. However,
and after you finish blowing each other, you say, oh, what a lovely tea party.
The Lord of the Rings stuff, a couple people were selling their stuff, and it was going, like, when I say a couple, I know two guys were selling their Lord of the Rings stuff, and it was going for outrageous prices. And outrageous, I mean, for an auction is like 70 to 80% off, 70 to 80 80% retail. Like 20% off what you'd pay in the store. That's insane, because most of the time you're getting 40 to 50%, you know, at auction. But just to see that for Lord of the Rings, it was blowing. And people, like, you know, a dozen people were buying this stuff.
Reviewing my auction papers, yeah. I did notice one thing that was a little interesting.
What was that?
I was like, I don't know if that's right.
What was that?
One of my Necron items,
yeah,
sold for more than retail.
You know,
someone got the fire in their eyes.
Well, sometimes you just, the person might have been just trying to buy all of the Necron stuff at once, you know, just whatever. I mean, it's stupid for them to do that, but
yeah. I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah, and Lord of the Rings was just selling, and people were buying it. To be fair, I think there is an alternative Lord of the Rings rules that people are using now.
Yeah, some guy made them. Like, he made free rules.
Yeah, and they're apparently really good.
Yeah, that's what people are playing now.
Yeah, but whatever, but the models are selling.
He better watch out, because he's going to get DMCA'd and sued by Games Workshop.
We must sue.
He should also just keep using the word Space Marine everywhere in the rules.
As long as he doesn't call the rules Space Marine, I think it'd be okay.
No, he's going to call the rules Space Marine.
Space Marine of the Rings.
Space Marine, the Lord of the Rings strategy battle game.
So Aragorn is going to be using this bolter.
No. You don't use anything related to...
Use Space Marine.
Space Marine, okay. The Lord of the Rings fantasy strategy battle game.
So everything is Space Marine, Cola, Orc.
Yes.
Colon, Orc.
Yes. Yeah.
Space Marine, Cola,
Gandalf.
Gandalf.
Yeah, you've got it.
Space Marine, comma, Gandalf the White. Or colon.
Yes.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
Great.
Okay, so, yeah. That one. Can you really get DMCA'd sued if you don't charge anything for it, if it's just free?
If you use any of their proprietary rules.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Even if it's free.
If I produced an exact copy of Warhammer, yeah, called it Battle Mallet, and used all of the same mechanics and rules and wordings.
Well, the mechanics is different. I mean, I'm not saying that the guy's using the mechanics.
Well, I don't know what he's using. He could be using a variant
using a
of the mechanics.
He's using a percentile system. I don't fucking know.
Because he could be using a variant of the mechanics. And
I like how your ears perked up when I said percentile system. You're that big of a rules nerd that you love percent... Rules nerds love percentile systems.
I like percentile... complimentary.
Oh, okay.
I like it. So you're like, you're rolling, 3d8, whatever, yeah, and then you have a percentile compliment.
I think that's your fetish. You're a rules porn fetishist. You're like, oh, look at that. Look at that percentile. Look at that chart. Yeah, roll on that chart. Roll on it.
Roll on that D66 chart. Dog.
And me, I'm a component whore. The entire way. And be like, look at all the punch outs and the little plastic men.
Oh, the meeples.
I get to punch these out. Oh, like yesterday, you got the Battles of Westeros Baratheon set for me. All last night when I got home, I was like, punch, 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 punch,
nice.
Sort, baggy. I got so excited. I'm the worst. Like, if you gave, like, Gotham Horror, I'd probably just
you
be like...
You had a really good time with Twilight Imperium.
Oh, Twilight Imperium was just... Twilight Imperium was almost like... It's like when you have sex three times in one night. At the end, your fingers are raw. Every party is raw.
You're all sticky.
You're sticky. You just want to go to bed, but you're like, oh, you got to keep punching these ships out.
It was worth it.
Dan, you're just like, oh, I'm never doing that again, but at least I have that experience and that memory. Wow, punching out Twilight Imperium. Like sex. Who knew? Also some
like sex in triplicate.
Oh, God. Also from the auction, other things that we're going for actually a decent price for Uncharted Seas, which I've said is the dead game. Don't bother with it. Don't touch it. Don't look at the Uncharted Seas. It's just too sad. Steve, don't look at the Uncharted Seas.
I like the Uncharted Seas.
I do too. I mean, it's got nice ships, but it's a dead game.
Yeah.
I think there's just some, like, there was like only like one or two people bidding on it, so.
Well, those two guys are probably going to play against each other.
Yeah. I'm going to play my orcs. What are you going to play? Dragon Lords?
Orcs.
I'm going to play orcs. Orcs versus orcs.
Yeah.
Choo-choo.
Ramming speed.
You can't really make a sound for the boats. There's no
splash,
splash,
splash.
Or the guys rowing.
Oh, wee-o.
Wee-o. Oh. It's not as good as like a car or something. You can't go.
Or a spaceship where you just go pew 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 pew.
Whoosh.
Whoosh.
Da 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 da.
The Lord of the Rings.
I don't know.
The Lord of the Rings Gambit. The Space Marine Lord of the Rings.
The Space Marine Lord of the Rings. Okay, how about cool.
All right, well,
better.
That's good.
All right. So that was, and of course, 40K went for a ton as you have discovered.
Yeah,
you're like raking in the Benjamins for that Necron army.
Yeah, I was the only person in the entirety of the auction to put Necrons in there.
Crones are doing well.
That's good for me.
You know what I actually thought was really weird, too? I don't know, like, because, of course, you're just going to go, 40K is gay! Flip the table.
I would never call it gay. I would say it sucks.
Okay, 40K sucks! Flip the table.
There you go.
Eldar was not going for a lot. Eldar was going for cheap, and considering the fact that they're rumored to be the next army, I thought that was quite interesting.
Because they're bad.
I know. I understand that Eldar are bad currently.
They are always bad.
I know, but I mean,
there was one glorious, like, half year where they were decent.
What are you playing, Eldar? What are you playing, Eldar? Yay, let's play our Eldar against each other.
And then they're terrible.
But the I just thought it was weird because normally there was no speculative buying.
Well, you know why?
Why?
Because they're not space marines.
Space marines.
The thing, if you've got new in box product,
yeah,
and you're gonna auction it, you need to try and exchange it anywhere you can for space marines.
Mm-hmm.
Or Necrons, I suppose. Or any MEQ army.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, if you're near a Games Workshop store and you've got a bunch of new in-box stuff, take that shit in. Exchange it for a better-selling army.
Did we talk about the exchange thing on the podcast? Did we talk about
what
that last time?
What exchange thing?
Games Workshop's new exchange policy.
Oh, do they have a new one?
Yeah. You can only exchange stuff if it's in the current packaging.
I thought that's new? I thought that was always that way.
No. Well, not... No. That hasn't. So, like... For example, I think the Basilisk has a new package or something. I can't remember. It's one of the tanks has a new package in comparison to the old one. And someone was trying. They can't do it because I guess
even though
it's
the same exact product.
Even though it's the same exact product. Yeah. It just probably has to do with whatever their stupid fucking warehouse issue or whatever thing. I know. I'm the same way. Just roll your eyes. Like, it's the same fucking product. It's not like you could sell it for like $2 less. Most people are like, I got it for a $2 discount. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Woohoo.
Fucking jizz their pants about it.
I only had to pay $66 instead of $68. Yeah. And we were, I also went on the RPG night for the auction, and the second edition D&D stuff, there wasn't a ton of it, but it was going for so much money. And the reason is, Steve!
Because it's being reprinted.
Woo-hoo!
AD&D 2E, baby.
Yeah. We talked about it on the last podcast because 4th edition blew so bad.
AD&D 2nd edition is my favorite.
Yeah.
Thaco, baby. Thaco is backo.
What does Thaco mean?
To hit armor class 0.
Ah, okay, I don't know.
So an armor class of 0 is a pretty good armor class.
Okay.
So say you're Thaco as like a first level mage.
Okay.
Would probably be something along the lines of 17.
Okay.
Which means that you need a 17 or higher on a d20 to hit an armor class of 0.
Okay.
If they have an armor class of 1, you need a 16. If they have an armor class of 2, you need a
15.
Yes. Whatever there are, if their armor class value is positive, you add, you reduce that from your Thaco.
Well, there you go.
So if he's got an armor class of 17, and your Thaco is 17, you hit automatically.
Well, as we all know, Wizards of the Coast blew it when it came to 4th edition. Actually, I had really high hopes when 4th edition came out.
Well, here's the thing that they did wrong with 4th edition, in my opinion. They made it very, very much more gamey, video gamey.
Yeah, because
there's a lot of guys out there who like 4th edition.
I mean, there's some parts of 4th edition I actually kind of like. I like some of the mechanics, at least when it comes to...
I don't like all the powers. And the reason I don't like all the powers is because if I'm playing in a campaign and I don't want to think a lot and I just want to be like, I'm going to, you know, just fight. I want to be a fighter or a rogue or someone who doesn't have to have a lot of options in combat, because I don't really care. I have a character in mind. Like, I want to be kind of like the Hound. You know, that's who I want to play.
You want to be like Sandor Clegane.
Yeah.
You want to have scarred face and, you know.
I want to be huge. I'm going to use a two-handed sword, full plate armor. I'm like, that's what I want. That guy should be simple to play. He's you dodge, you block, you attack. That's all the man does. Because
he doesn't need a special power.
Right. He's got two fucking two-handed
unless
swords.
That special power is like scare little girls.
Yes. Or terrified of fire.
Terrified. Oh,
fire elemental.
Did you ever hear the story of the mountain and the hound?
So... There's that. And, like, I wanted that to be simple.
Yeah.
But if I want a more complex character that's got a lot more options, then I want to play the
mage.
You want
to be able... Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
So,
yeah.
Why is... I mean, every character in 4th edition is essentially a mage. They all have a laundry list of powers. You've got encounter powers. You've got at-wills, you've got dailies.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking stack of cards of shit your guy can do, and you're just like,
Yeah, and also it does eliminate a little bit of the role-playing in quotation marks, as I'm doing it with my fingers.
Well, I'd say it doesn't eliminate it, because the ability to role-play in a game is completely aside of the rules. But what it does do is it encourages people to not be their character and to use their mechanics rather than being their character.
That's what I'm saying. Is like you don't think of alternative ways of getting out of things,
because you just look at your powers.
Yeah, you just like, I can do this, I can do that. Instead of going, haha, but my character can do this.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Which is why I actually really like the way Dragon Age is designed, the Dragon Age RPG.
Yeah, and I was gonna make a comparison to the Dragon Age RPG in a lot of ways. I think that is actually a little bit of a better way of doing it.
Yeah, because the tabletop version is, if you're a mage, you've got abilities and powers. If you're a fighter or a rogue, you don't have that kind of stuff. But if you roll doubles, essentially scoring a critical,
yeah,
then you get access to your stunt points, where you can do something awesome. So that's really well, really done well.
It's just so bad. Too bad Dragon Age 2 just sucked on the video games.
Well, yeah, Dragon Age 2 was awful, but but
Dragon Age 3 looks like it could be pretty good.
Well, here's the thing. I'm still on the boycott BioWare bandwagon. However,
is it BioWare or is it EA?
Well, EA owns BioWare.
I know, but are you boycotting EA or BioWare?
BioWare.
Because of Mass Effect 3 still? Okay. Yes. You're nodding solemnly.
And Dragon Age 2.
Okay.
Like, Dragon Age 2 is kind of the first, like...
Like, I know you're... Like, I can't make... You had, like, what, 18 characters for Mass Effect 2 ready to go?
Yeah.
For Mass Effect 2?
Yeah.
I played Mass Effect
3. I had 9 male shepherds and 9 female shepherds with complete playthroughs of Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2.
I played Mass Effect 3... And, you know, I was a little disappointed at the end. I didn't think it was as terrible as you did. But, you know what? I wasn't as invested in it as you were. You know, I was a little more disappointed by the end of Assassin's Creed 3 than anything.
Well, like I said, the biggest slap in the face thing about that ending is simply that they were talking about, like, oh, it's going to be so divergent, so different. You'll never get your ending will be totally different than your buddy's ending. There's only one ending with a different color swap.
Yeah.
It's red, blue, or green.
Like, well, they screwed the pooch.
Yeah. I would have liked them to just be like, yeah, we fucked it up. Sorry.
Sorry.
It was T-Board's fault.
But the one thing that would make me interested in playing Dragon Age 3 is if they do a multiplayer mode like the Mass Effect multiplayer mode. Because then that's going to be a horde mode where you get to play as a wizard, a cleric, or a fighter.
Can I just take my three wizard party through everything?
Code of cold.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that was the auction. There was a lot of good stuff. Oh, what we were originally talking about, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons coming out again.
Well, AD&D, it makes you think of all other fantasy
and
games.
Yeah, because everything is essentially all the ripoff of D&D. And we talked about it last podcast about how they had reprinted the first edition Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
And then,
oh, no, they reprinted Advanced Dungeons & Dragons.
Advanced Dungeons & Dragons.
And they're also reprinting the first edition.
And they're doing 3.5. And
3.5 is already reprinted.
Already reprinted. Yeah. So now they're finally just going to complete it all and reprint
AD&D 2E, baby.
2E, which is Steve's favorite.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people's favorite. That's like what most people got into the system.
Yeah.
Because that system lasted the longest. It was like from the 80s all the way up until about like 99, right?
Until 3.5, until 3.0.
Yeah, it lasted for almost 15 to 20 years. Most people played AD&D 2nd Edition. So, I mean, that's a cool thing, and I think that's part of the reason why a lot of it's, you know, pushing really hard.
Super excited about it. And I'm super excited about those encounter decks they have saved for me at Games Plus.
Oh, yeah, you said there was like...
They're like giant oversized monster cards that have stats and shit on them. Oh, man.
You're just like, oh, I gotta touch myself. I'm sorry.
Wait, no.
I'm sorry,
I don't
Joe.
Say I gotta touch myself.
You just
I'm
touch
already
it.
Touching myself.
Yeah. When I think about
I'm not gonna let you know.
Cards, I touch myself. Oh.
You'll know when the sticky shit hits your face.
Oh God, go web, go.
Go web, go. Yes, I do look like Tobey Maguire.
No, he doesn't. No. All right, so you got the auction, you got the D&D stuff. Let's go into the Kickstarter stuff.
Oh, my God. There's too many Kickstarters.
That's the problem right now.
Too many Kickstarters. They're all great. I'm just going to run through them. Thawne looks awesome. Sci-fi, badassery.
Mm-hmm.
Wild West Exodus looks super cool. Loka. I really like Loka. I know you're butthurt about it or whatever.
I'm not butthurt about it. I'm just like, what the fucking point? That's the point.
I mean, I like alternative chess sets. I've always been a fan of that kind of stuff. And, hey, the rules might be cool.
I only like two types of chess sets. I like my Civil War chess set that I could get from the Franklin Mint.
From Gamer's Paradise?
Or from Gamer's Paradise. Wow, that's an obscure Chicago reference to those. Or I'm going to get my 3D Star Trek chess set.
Well, that's all a different game. But, I mean, maybe the game will be fun. The thing I do, the one idea behind a miniatures fantasy rule set style chess game that I'm really into is that it's a chessboard.
Yes.
So you don't have to have a whole shit ton of terrain. You just slap a chessboard.
And that's kind
of
like why you like the Kingdom Death game, too. It's very similar to that.
Yeah.
Not similar to chess, but it comes on a board.
It's a board. Yeah. And that's just a space saving thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I'd love to play fucking Kings of War over and over, but I have to pull out the 6x4, get all the terrain out.
And plus,
it's a thing when you
Plus, you could bring the Locust set to, like, to Caribou or Starbucks if you want to lay down on the table and play against your friend. And someone would be up like, oh, are you guys playing chess?
And you're like, it's not just chess, it's Loka Fantasy Chess.
Or else if you're embarrassed, you go, yes, I'm playing chess. All right, rolls armor save.
Did you give your bishop the heal spell?
No, I gave him Smite Evil.
Oh, that was foolish.
Yeah, so you have Loka. You also have Torn Armor.
Torn Armor. That was the one we all agreed upon.
That was the best one out right now. That's actually making the least amount of money.
Yes, Torn Armor is the... Oh, and Helldorado.
Helldorado
looks good.
Helldorado.
Why don't you come to your senses? Yes, Torn Armor, we have determined, is
the
nut high.
Yeah, the nut high is
the nut high.
This is what we're talking about, and we could go over this. Is there too many right now?
Yes.
Yes.
There's
okay.
too many. And not in like a, oh, man. This is stupid. The market's flooded. More as in, like, I want to buy all of these things.
Yeah, and
that's the problem.
Here's
they all look great.
Here's the problem for me, is that there's too many at one time, which means that if I wanted to put into all these, because I want to support these, I really do. I want to support men. I would love to support Wild West Exodus and Torn Armor and all of the ones that are out there right now.
I think I'm going to go in on Torn Armor.
Okay. Especially Torn Armor. But there's too many out there right now. I don't want to give, like, because I would like to get, like, all the stretch goals. Like, Torn Armor, I think you get all the stretch goals and everything at $150. That's everything you
get.
And
that's a great deal.
That's a great deal at $150. But the problem is, like, I can't do that and Wild West Exodus and Sedition Wars Battlefront. No.
And Thawne.
No.
Or Helldorado.
What's the one that we were making fun of?
Antares.
Not Battle for Antares, but yeah, that is a bad one,
it's
right?
It's Beyond the Gates of Antares.
Beyond the Gates of Antares. No, Warzone. Warzone.
Oh, what's wrong with Warzone?
No, I just
awesome.
Like making fun of Warzone.
Oh, okay. That one looks really sweet, too.
Yeah, it does.
Like, so many look so good.
And that's the problem, is like, and they're very similar in scale and scope. They're all
exactly. It's like, I need 20 figures.
Sci-fi, fantasy, skirmish games, which can be a little pain in the assy at times.
Oh, then there was Godslayer. I don't know if that's still running.
Yeah, Godslayer, the dragon one, Drake.
Yeah, Drake, the Avengers game. That one looks really cool.
Yeah, there's just so many out there right now, and it's like, stop.
Let this one come out and finish.
Or at
then
least
launch yours.
At least let this one come out, get funded, and when it gets funded, then go and release yours.
Yeah, there
and
you
then
go.
Wait for that one to get funded, and so on and so forth, just so that it gives the gamers a chance to calm.
Fucking breathe.
Yeah, to breathe and, like, because...
I mean, you can't really complain about it because it's like you're drowning in what appears to be extremely high quality content.
Yes.
It's like how you can't really complain about that. It's like, wow, all of these games look so good. They all look appealing.
Yeah.
And the problem is like, I just don't have the money.
And just really quick for a shout out for Torn Armor and the reason why Steve and I like this, for a couple reasons. One, it's a little unique in the way that it's, I don't know where Steve just is.
I'm getting my drink.
Oh, he's getting his drink.
My drink.
Purple drink.
My drink.
There's the armies are all not non-traditional fantasy troped armies. They're just different. They have a mouse people army that's not much like the Skaven. They're not rat people. They're mice people. They're like, and the nice thing is that they're small. They're small. They're 20 mil in comparison to the other figures, which are 25 and 28 heroic or even 32. Sized, and then you have these like small mice men, so you can have a lot.
And the rhino, I think he's like 50 mil.
Yeah,
he's huge.
They're
riding in his back in a howdah,
and it's actually based on a board, so it's a giant. It's giant hex. I mean, these are big.
They're
hexes.
Really huge hexes.
So I don't know how that's gonna work.
It's probably my guess is that they're sized that way. I don't know the rules, but my guess is that if I were making a board game and I needed hexes that big, things would be able to move 1 to 2 hexes, but everything would need to be able to occupy the hexes at the same time. Uh-huh. So with a lot of figures, you know, you need a lot of space.
Plus, if you have, like, let's say a 50, like, let's say the Rhino is has a 50 mil base, you're going to need at least a 50 mil hex.
Exactly.
For that Rhino to be in there. That's great. It's a female designer, which you don't see. I wish I don't have my iPad in front of me.
They are the white Rhino of the gaming industry.
It's really cool looking. The mechanics, they don't look great, like 100% great, but, you know, I'm not the rules porn guy. That's Steve. Steve's going to have to take a look at the rules and see how they are.
I don't even care. I'm still going in.
still going in. There's a lot of different armies for it. It just looks cool. I think it's worth taking a look at. And it's only at $30,000 out of the $50,000 stretch goal, and not its total goal. And so they have like 18 or 17 days left on it. So get to it. Pledge $100, pledge $150, get all the stretch goals because everything looks really good.
All right, Natalia Alyssa.
My only problem with it?
Faden is her name.
And you know what my problem is with it? All of the models shown are on CAD. Fucking hate that. We live in a day and age, Steve, where we could have the model in front of us.
Sorry, bro. CAD.
Ah, fucking hate CAD. Fucking hate it.
I like CAD because you get to see what you get.
Well, you do, but it's I would much rather see a figure than just like, this is how the figure is going to look.
But it's exactly the same.
No, it's not.
It is.
I'm sorry.
There's like no, there's nothing lost between CADs and figures now. Nowadays with these 3D printers.
I don't trust computers.
That's because you're an old man.
I only trust them for my porn. And torrents.
You probably shouldn't. So you trust them with the one thing you probably shouldn't.
Porn and torrents.
Nice.
Torrents of sweet, sweet.
Joe calls me up. Steve, something's wrong with my computer. I think I got something.
How much porn did you download yesterday?
Oh, it's kind of a lot.
Three gigs.
Would you consider 30 gigs a lot?
30 gigs?
In one day? This goes back to the whole sex in 3 days. Three sexings in one day thing.
Three sexes in one day? You had three sexes in one day?
Three sexes. Oh, and then they got the Clockwork Dragon from Reaper.
That was the other cool thing as well. Is it Bones? Is it Reaper Bones?
Yeah, it's a Bones.
Yeah, they brought that over. So there. So that's one of the... So if you missed the Reaper Bones when it came out, when it originally pushed through...
And, of course, the Winged Hussars for you.
Yes. Well, you know, I love my Polish Kislevites. All that fun stuff. So that's a good one. I would definitely recommend that one out of anything. But
yeah, I'm going in on Torn Armor.
Here's another thing, though, that's really kind of weird, and we talked about this. Ogre has still yet to come out.
Ogre.
And that was the thing, is CNN actually did a story saying, like, Kickstarters, what's actually worked, what's delayed, where the hell is it? And that's Ogre was... One out of the top, I think they did 25, top 25 Kickstarters. That was the only gaming one that was actually in the line of, hey,
which is funny because it's now nowhere near what some of the other gaming ones have done.
I mean, it was still like, what is it, 900,000?
It was a lot, but I mean, Zombicide passed that now.
Yeah. Well, Zombicide Season 2 is coming out.
Zombicide 2 is what I mean. Zombicide 2, that one's really blowing up. It's doing better than the first one.
Yeah. Well, not with Steve's support.
I can see the appeal of that game.
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't hate it. I just found it to be boring.
You found it to be repetitive.
Repetitive. Yeah. Kind of like repetitively boring. And I think if you applied a really good strategy to it, it's very easy.
My feeling is I think the mechanic could work for something different. It's to me, the mechanic is...
I think it's a great introduction to like board gaming RPGs for people who don't play board games or RPGs.
My problem is it's very similar to Last Night on Earth.
There's a lot of zombie games.
It's just zombie is so beat to death.
So I picked this Kemet. It looks like a very interesting
board game. Kemet?
Kemet.
Kemet?
Kemet.
Kermit?
No.
Hi-ho.
No.
You know, the Egyptian deities are going to come down from on high and smite you.
Oh, God, it's a guy with a giant jackal head. Run!
Nah, Anubis won't. He'll just be like, whatever, man. He's just like expressing his opinion.
So Anubis is the Lebowski?
Is the Anubis dude? Is the Lebowski of the Egyptian pantheon.
Okay, so who's Walter then?
Probably...
Is it the guy that's like a lion with the alligator head?
Lion head. No, the lion is on her.
I don't fucking know. I don't care.
Who would be Walter? That's John Goodman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All I'm saying is that these Egyptian gods ain't nothing compared to the one American god.
Money?
Dale Earnhardt.
I thought it was money.
No, Dale Earnhardt is a godson come down.
Dale fucking Earnhardt.
He gave his life for your sins.
He's a dirty driver. He's a dirty driver, and he died doing a dirty driving maneuver.
He loved this country so much.
Dale is dead. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. He died before because he knew Obama would come into office. So he sacrificed himself for your sins for voting for Obama.
I'm just going to say Osiris. Osiris would be Walter.
Okay. Well, let's go on that one. No, but I think there could be so much. My problem with Zombicide is that it's capitalizing on the fact that people love zombies.
Well, that right it's now. Very Left 4 Dead too.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead.
It's no, that game is very Left 4 Dead. Oh. It's got the same kind of zombie categories. There's essentially the big brute guy who's like the tank in the video game. There's the fat dude. It's very much like Left 4 Dead.
Is there a witch? Is that one of them? Witch?
No, you know what?
I never played Left 4 Dead.
Not yet, but there probably will be.
Yeah.
They're probably something similar.
Well, I kind of like the fact that the Zombicide characters, like the player characters, are all based off zombie survivor tropes. That was the one thing that I thought was a little different and kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few of them that are clearly characters from
The Walking Dead
or other things. Yeah, there's Rick Grimes. He's clearly fucking Rick Grimes. I think his name is like Ray Crime. Ray Crimes. They're clearly like, oh, that's Michonne.
This is just a rip off of Walking Dead. Thanks, Obama.
You know what? What about this zombie apocalypse scenario called The Walking Dead, where everyone who gets bitten and turned into a zombie turns into Christopher Walken?
Oh, you know what? That was really funny when it was on the internet 6 years ago.
Was it really?
Oh,
I don't think it was.
I'm so sorry, Steve.
I don't think it was, bro.
Johnny, tell him what he's won.
I don't think it was, bro. Jerk ass. I will fart into this microphone. I swear to God, I'll put it right
to my colon.
You're
the only one who uses that microphone.
Shit. You won't remember. You'll accidentally use my fart microphone.
Oh, God, there's farts. They're in my mouth. I left it open.
I thought they were cookies.
Does it really smell like cookies?
Oh, God, he farted it down my throat.
Anywho. Kickstarter, yeah.
That's
Ogre.
Right. Now we're talking about farting.
See, now we're back to old fashioned. About like last podcast, like we did, like the one that missed. It was all like these are blah 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 blah. Everything was coming out. Yes, it was not enough room for dick jokes.
The
and
Lost
fart jokes.
Podcast was very technical and full of a shit ton of information.
Yeah,
I think it was pretty good, and I think you're all missing out on it, and we'll never do it again.
No, never. So back to Ogre is still, people are waiting for the Ogre Deluxe Edition.
It is coming. It was delayed. Basically, let's go with the long and short of it is simply this. Steve Jackson was like, I'm going to put this game I made in the 70s on Kickstarter. It might make it. I'll probably, ship 70 copies.
Yeah.
And people are like, Ogre? Oh my God, it's the game I've been waiting for.
It's like all of a sudden, like, I just imagine, like, you know those scenes, like, with, like, you see a prairie field, and then all of a sudden, like, you see one prairie dog head pop up, and then there's like, boop, 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 boop,
yeah,
like a thousand.
It's a mountain of prairie dogs.
It's like he was just like, Ogre. And all of a sudden, one neckbeard popped up and went, Ogre? And then, like, a bunch of other neckbeards popped up. Ogre? Ogre? Ogre?
They're
ogre.
All bringing their friends. They're like, come on!
They're in their little rascal scooters, like, Ogre!
Rascal.
Micro armor.
I'm gonna make the ogre in 12mm format.
Gotta get my suspenders on so I can go to the store and keep me some ogre.
I need a pair of suspenders.
Gotta put my slouch hat on.
I want to wear suspenders with sweatpants. The ultimate. And then my shirt will be black, and in white lettering it will just say Dungeon Master.
No, your shirt will on there will have a picture of what's her name from Gold Digger, the anthro cheetah chick. You know, I'm talking about the furry, the one that all the furry people always like.
Oh, that's from I know, yeah, you're talking about the Fred Perry guy.
Yeah, that's who needs to be on your shirt. That's who's on all the.
But I want mine to say Dungeon Master.
Okay. Well, how about yours says Pardon My Swag?
That would be fine.
I was sitting in my car and waiting for Steve to get home before we could record the podcast. And all of a sudden, this guy kicks open his front door, and he's a very large African-American gentleman, walks out. I'm talking like large, as in probably 500 to 600 pounds. Kicks open the door. He walks out, puts on his sunglasses, looks around, and his shirt just says, Pardon My Swag. I didn't know what to do at that point. I was just like, this is amazing. And I texted a bunch of people. I didn't. I was like, wow. That's cool. But anyway, yeah, the Ogre, people are still wondering where Ogre's. I'm sure it'll come out. I mean, it's not
it's
like
coming. I have there's
Steve
a new
Jackson
date.
Is not one of those guys no. who's just like
it just wasn't ready for it. And, no. and but that's an important lesson to Kickstarter. That was one of the earliest Kickstarter, like I would say, big successes.
Breakouts.
Yeah, it was an early breakout. So people had no idea that there would be this many people jumping money into Kickstarter.
And dumping money into Ogre. Because even me, who was a supporter of Kickstarter and knew what Kickstarter was, went, Ogre?
Yeah.
Really? Like, okay, I know the internet. I know Kickstarter. I know about I know about this whole process. I know about the games that go into it. But Ogre? Really? Yeah. That's bullshit. However, it was really funny because at the auction, terrain always sells for a ridiculous amount of money. Even the shittiest ass terrain that you could possibly make. It's like you take a chunk, like you get the old ice coolers.
Just spray this black and call it a silo.
Yeah.
this monster can.
Yeah. They'll have like a foam ice cooler, and someone will paint it gray and be like, it's a space marine base. And it'll sell, like, people will be like, $40 for that space marine base. And it's always the worst terrain you've ever seen in your life. But people buy it. And there was one of them was like, oh, this is a perfect 12 millimeter, you know.
It'd be great for Ogre.
It'd be great for Ogre. And everyone's like, Ogre?
The same thing. The prairie heads pop up.
micro ogre.
Nice.
It'd be $5,000 for the ogre silo.
It's like, really? Wow. Who knew?
But that was interesting. I found that to be quite entertaining, so to speak, the ogre thing. But yeah, it all goes back to the fact that Kickstarter is not a store. It's
right.
You're donating money for it, and that's why you have to pick and choose. And I think that's part of the problem with a lot of the shit that's coming out. Yes, everyone's gonna get their shit when eventually. I don't think, unless the person's just, well, what was that one Kickstarter where the people put it up on Kickstarter, got a bunch of money, and then ran out of money, so they had to put it on an Indiegogo. You just put it on
oh, Facebook. I just shared it. I can't remember if that
was some castle thing.
Yeah. I can't remember it though.
Yeah, they got Kickstarter, got a bunch of money, ran out of money halfway through production, so they had to put on Indiegogo to make up the rest of the money they needed to finish the production. It's on the Facebook page. Go to the Game Classy Facebook page to find out more on that topic.
To find the answer to this mystery.
All right, so let's go into Magic, because you had some ideas and some stuff about a Magic release coming up.
Oh, yes. Okay, so Magic releases. You've got the first thing, the next set is Dragon's Maze, which is...
It's a maze, which is a stone... A bunch of tunnels.
Not dragon corn.
Or as the Native Americans call it, corn.
Maize.
Which they would put with different types of things to make hominy, which is delicious.
Harmony?
Hominy. It's a type of like corn thing that you make with the stew.
Harmony?
Put a ham bone in there.
Get yourself a stew going.
Thanks, Carl Weathers.
Thanks, Carl Weathers. So the biggest thing is nobody really knows what's in Dragon's Maze yet, except for the fact that in Return to Ravnica, they printed 5 of the Shocklands, which are dual colors, very popular.
Red and blue and green.
Right. And then in Gatecrash, the second set, they printed the other 5 Shocklands out of the total of 10.
Okay.
Now, Dragon's Maze is going to have no basic lands in its booster packs.
So no prairies.
No plains, no islands.
No bogs.
No forests. Bogs. No, it's bayou.
No swamps.
It's going to have all 10 of the Shocklands. And a mythic rare land, and every single land or every single pack of Dragon's Maze is going to have a non-basic. So it's going to be a duel, a gate, a shock land, a mythic, something like that. The set is already going to be gangbusters, and Gatecrash is sold out almost everywhere.
Well,
it's impossible to keep in stock. Everyone wants more. There's not enough of it to go around. The shortage is ridiculous, and they're printing less Dragon's Maze than they printed of Gatecrash.
Well, we should start a black market Magic ring where we just do bootleg Magic cards.
there was actually it's funny you mentioned that, because there was a group that were doing high quality proxies.
Ooh.
For Type 1 Vintage, which would be Black Lotus, your Moxes and stuff. And they, on their website, they straight up, they're like, these are proxies.
Yeah, these are not legit.
They're not legal. Like, they're full disclosure, like, you know, transparency. Like, these are proxy cards. These are not intended to have the same value, and they were selling them at pretty cheap, like $10 for each of the proxies. I mean, it's pretty good because they're really high quality. They look really nice.
Yeah.
And Wizards actually sued them and got them shut down.
I could see that being sued, though. That's one of those things where I'm like, If they got away with it, more power to them, but that's kind of shady.
Yeah, the problem was they did it too well, but I still say if they wanted to try and come back, all they need to do is print a one-sided card.
Yeah.
So you have the exact side, like you do make your Black Lotus look exactly like a real Black Lotus.
Yeah.
But on the other side of the card, just blank.
Blank. So, and then, and most people just put their stuff in sleeves anyway, so, yeah. So it's not a big deal.
But you're good. You know, you're not going to be able to swindle anyone with a half card.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's part of it, too, is like these are, you know, you have to put it on there. Like this
yeah,
is
a reprint. Yeah, I mean, it's like their site says that it's they're not going to, you know, their site says, hey, these are proxies, but that's not going to stop you from buying one of their Black Lotuses, beating it up a little bit, bringing it over to me and saying, hey, man, look what I found on my old magic cards. And I'll be like, holy shit.
You're full of shit. You set it on fire.
I probably would if you did it.
I got a Chaos Orb, Steve.
Chaos Orb. That thing's actually Chaos Orb's worth a decent amount of money.
I was gonna say, isn't it like worth like $100 or something like that? Just it's still worth more than like,
you can't use it in any format, but it's a collector's item.
Like Black Lotus, you really can't use it in anything.
Black Lotus, you can use in vintage. It's a staple in vintage.
Is it?
It's in every
deck. You can't use Chaos Orb.
No, you can't use Chaos Orb because the flip.
Oh, is it okay?
And you can't use Amuleto. You can't use any of the cards that refer to
Ante. You just named
Ante.
Like you refer to the four magic cards that I know, which are Moxes, Black Lotus, Chaos Orb, and
Lands. Lightning Bolt. Well, you can't use any of the cards that refer to Ante either, or Ante, however you. I don't know. A lot of people say that differently.
Like Annie up.
Yeah, Ante up.
Yeah, okay.
Annie, Ante, Ante,
Ante,
Ante.
Ante is the way I always heard
Ante.
It.
Ante. Yeah. I don't know. I hear it lots of ways. There's a lot of cards that refer to that, because that used to be a fucking rule of Magic the Gathering. It would be you had to ante a card from your deck against your opponents.
Yeah, because you used to play against each other
for
cards.
You play for keeps.
Yeah.
But that doesn't work no more.
That don't work no more, Steve.
Which,
Steve, that don't work no more.
So
once again, we have Wizards of the Coast printing money, essentially.
Refusing to print enough.
But that's the thing. That's the reason why they're printing money, is because they're not printing enough. So it drives up rarity even more.
But they're not making any more cash because of
that. Yeah, it's all secondary market cash, which is... I find it fascinating because they're essentially pumping up the secondary market. What they're doing is they're creating like a magic black market almost for the... It's not a black market. It's an actual market.
I mean, I still say they could print... I'm not saying they should print the exact number that people want, because that'd be too much.
Yeah.
But the numbers that they're providing are way too low.
Oh, yeah. And I think because, like, for example, it's like the anti-GW thing, because what GW is trying to do is destroy the secondary market. They want to be in control of all distribution, all sale, so on and so forth. I mean, they're like, they shake their fist every time an eBay sale gets made.
Yeah.
And Wizards of the Coast is just like, sell it for what you will. We'll only give you so much. Whoever's in charge of Wizards of the Coast at this moment.
It just sounds like the Nizambot.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes.
Chummy, make with the chocolate icing.
So that's one
Steve,
thing.
Steve, print out another Ravnica set for me. I'd like to see the peasants fight for it.
I need another Lotus. So there's that. And then there's the other thing, which is way bigger, which is the Modern Masters set.
And you were saying that the Modern Masters is essentially a reprint set because they've never actually they were anti-reprint.
Well, they were anti-reprint all the way up to... they had a policy Mirrodin, they wouldn't reprint,
right?
All the way up to Mercadian Masks.
Ah, Mercadian Masks. I don't know what
And they'll reprint cards from Mercadian Masks forward in time. Now, the difference... What this is that the modern format of Magic is cards from Mirrodin forward.
Yes.
So even though they could reprint cards from Arcadian Masks, until it's reprinted in a set after Mirrodin, it doesn't count.
Well, and you also talked about something called false proxy, or what was that you were saying?
Functional reprint.
Functional reprint. That's what it was. I thought that was cool. Is that they wouldn't do any functional reprints either, which are essentially reprints of a card's rules, but with a different card.
Yeah.
So not lightning, it would be like thunder.
Lightning Bolt is one red, deal 3 damage to target creature player. Yeah. A functional reprint of Lightning Bolt would be like Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
One red, deal 3 damage to target creature player. But it doesn't let you increase the amount of that card to 8 copies.
Yeah.
Which is why they have to be very careful with functional reprints, because that is a really quick way to unbalance older formats.
Yes.
You know, because it won't affect a format that you can only use 4 Lightning Bolts in. But hey, if you go back to modern, suddenly now you get 8 Lightning Bolts, and that's like, whoa.
Whoa, dude. You got too many lightning bolts.
I mean, there's a lot of functional ribbons of lightning bolts.
You got thunderbolts, you got lightning bolts. I can't handle this.
Yeah, lightning bolt is not the best of examples, but there's a lot of cards that would really break.
I just thought it was interesting. So now they're doing a reprint.
It's a reprint set called Modern Masters. It's 224 cards. The booster boxes are 24 packs. Packs
instead
are $7
of 36.
Each. Instead of 36, $4 each.
Yes. I still can't believe $4 for a goddamn pack of Magic cards.
It's been the price for a long time.
I know. It's kind of like, what?
I mean,
I used to buying my dollar pack of baseball cards to get in my rookie card.
With inflation, it's still actually a good price.
Deal, yeah.
Because when Magic came out in like 93, mm-hmm. I think there were like $1.50 or $2 a pack.
Can I get my Hero Clicks for that? How many Hero Clicks can I get?
Hero Clicks are like $18 a pack or something.
Is it really?
Hero Clicks is fucking expensive, dude.
Jesus. We don't talk about Hero Clicks enough on this podcast. Mainly because
it's terrible?
Because there's some poor Chinese kid who's painting those goddamn figures.
It's also because it's fucking terrible.
Oh, and they smell like sadness.
I mean, I like that part, but...
It's you think it's terrible, I think it's terrible, but you know, there are people who still love Hero Clicks.
Fucking Dan Delanois.
Does he loves his Hero Clicks.
So anyway, so Modern Masters, big reprint set. There's a card called Tarmogoyf, which is being reprinted, which is the most in-demand Tarmogoyf.
Would you say it was like automatically, when it was released, like $100?
No, when it was first released, it was worth dick.
Dick.
Nobody wanted it.
Yeah.
And now it's easy 100. Easy 100.
Easy 100.
Yeah, for one copy. And that's being reprinted in the Modern Master set.
And now, would the reprint be worth as much as that $100?
No. Reprint is probably going to be worth 50 off the bat.
Still, though.
That's my guess. I'm guessing it'll be worth 50.
And they're like, what, they're putting out like one case of this?
Yeah, the amount of product they're producing for Modern Masters is going to be so small, no one is going to be happy.
Print off some more Modern Masters.
Yeah, except for that, it's one print, one limited sized print run, period.
Ugh.
So like the two people who do get it are going to be very excited.
You know, and that's the thing is like, on one hand, I don't like that because I think it's, you know, it doesn't add anything to the gaming community. But on the other hand, I'm kind of emboldened by that because it's like part of my hobby, part of the things I like about, you know, with my love of minis and my love of board games is I like seeking out the rare and, you know, maybe spending a little bit more money, but the search is what's kind of important to me. And I know not necessarily for you, but as I said, I'm the component whore.
Well, see, but for Magic cards, there really is no search. You just go Black Lotus and Google, and you can buy one.
Yeah.
As long as you have money. There's no real search.
Well, that's
the only thing that you could, I guess, could be a search is if you go to garage sales and you manage to, because I mean, there's some pretty amazing Magic card stories related to like grandmas with fuck ton of Magic cards that their kid left in the...
Pat B of Pat's Retro Video Game Reviews in the Play On podcast. He always shows me these videos of this guy, like this video game hunter who goes to, like, he films going to Craigslist houses and like going through these like kids' old video game collections, and he pulls out these like, you know, incredibly pristine condition Legend of Zelda cartridges and stuff like in the box still. I'm just like, god damn it. I got a couple good Craigslist buys. Like every once in a while I'll type in, you know, like miniatures, and then something cool pops up. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, see, like the best
Dreadfleet.
The best things you're gonna find though are always just at like a rando's garage sale.
Yeah, you gotta do some good garage sales.
Especially
for that.
Especially old people.
Yeah.
Because that's like my moons ago, one of my friends called
Many
me over
moons
to,
ago.
One of my friends called me over to his house, very excited. He's like, dude, you gotta come over right now. Come over right now. And I was like, okay. So I ran I biked over to his house, like,
ding, ding, ding.
And he showed me. He was like, dude, come here. And there was a stack of Magic cards about a little over his waist height. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And then I look over and there's just Magic cards everywhere, all over. He's got like boxes and boxes and boxes. I'm like, where'd you get all these fucking cards? And he's like, no, look at this stack of cards. And I start looking at the stack of cards, and it's just Dual Lands, Bayou, Taiga, Volcanic Islands, like... fucking
things
Badlands.
That must be
like,
worth something,
like,
because
oh
I don't know.
Oh my god! I'm just like, and then it's like, and it's like Mox, Time Walk. I'm like, oh what the? So he bought. He went to at a garage sale. There was an old lady who was selling her grandson's Magic cards he left in her attic, and he had a shit ton of them. He also had a big ass comic book collection.
Ooh.
And my friend was like, well, how much do you want for these cards? It was like 10 5Ks of Magic cards, so a huge amount of Magic cards. He's like. Because he's like, what do you want for him? She's like, oh, I don't know, $10 a box. And he's like, $50. There you go. And he just takes them and
he rides his bike.
No, he didn't ride a bike. He drove. Yeah. He had a car.
And so, he probably could buy five other cars with all the cards he sold.
Dude, I I'm pretty sure that's how he funded his college.
Probably, I wouldn't doubt it.
Like, I'm not exaggerating. I'm pretty sure that's how he went to college.
Well, anyway, so there you go. If you're able to find one of these boxes and one of these packs magically,
they're mythical. It's a great. It's always a great, great thing.
I guarantee you that maybe one box might find it to a store and open so that people could buy packs. Probably everything else is going to be bought up by the people who buy it are just going to open them up and bang them.
Oh, the Modern Masters, it's going to be it's all stores. It's a distribution channel. It's hobby stores.
I know, but the people are, if they know about it, are probably going to take the packs, open them up, and put them on eBay.
Yeah,
They're not going to sell them in the stores.
I don't know exactly how it's going to hit the market. Like what all I know is the reaction is going to be absurd. I just don't know.
People gnashing their teeth, pulling out their hair.
It's going to be bad.
Scratching their eyes out.
It's going to be bad.
Steve is bad.
It's bad.
It's like when Dale Earnhardt died.
Thanks, Obama.
So anyway,
I love that meme. Thanks, Obama.
It's so good. You could add it to the end of anything. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the problem is that I tend to say it at times when I really shouldn't. Like, I'll be like in a group like at work or anything, and I'll be like, "Yeah, I almost got that done. Thanks, Obama." And everyone will look at me and just be like, "But you voted Republican?" I'll be like, "No, it's an internet. You should shut the fuck up." No, before
I really have to crap. Thanks Obama.
Exactly. That was. I love stupid Americans.
Yeah.
Being French myself. I went to yesterday for my birthday. My wife got me tickets to go see a seminar on, not a seminar, but a class on how to carve a pig.
That's disgusting.
It was amazing. It was, you know, I do like crazy barbecue and stuff like that. But it basically showed you like how to cut up a pig so that you could get all the right pork chops and all the right cuts and everything.
That's really gross.
It was really cool. But anyway, there was a guy who's sitting there in the demonstration. He looks at the guy and goes, "How come they call pigs different words in different languages?"
What? Exactly. Someone actually asked that?
Yeah. It was like, you kind of just want to look at him and be like, "What?" W-U-T question mark. Yeah.
What?
He said that. He goes, "How come they call pigs different words in different languages?" And the guy who's holding the seminar looked at him like, "Are you a fucking moron?"
That's terrible. Everything about that story sucked.
No, I'm very interested in that. That's my like third cooking class I've taken. I enjoy cooking classes. Especially ones that involve slaughtering animals.
Not pigs. I try not to eat anything that's at dog level intelligence or greater.
I'd eat human if given the opportunity.
Well, people actually are the exception. Because I hate people. So I would eat them.
You would eat people?
Yeah, I would eat them.
Have some delicious long pig?
Yeah. Well, I assume with the old adage, you are what you eat, I would just have to eat extremely muscular people. And then, you know.
So you gain their power?
So I gain their powers.
Okay. Yeah. I eat people so I can gain their soul and their power. And, yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, that's totally fine.
Well, I mostly do it to appease my god, Kakakulan.
My god is Moloch, the eater of children.
Mine is Kakakulan, who is he's actually a small impish figure. He's a home deity. But you know what? He's mine.
Did you make that up?
Yes, I did.
Okay, because Moloch, the eater of children, is real. Yeah. and I pray to him.
So don't you fucking say anything about him.
Don't you fucking talk bad.
We got a couple of minutes left. Let's just go really quick. Let's just do a quick review of DC Heroes, which is a game that we played.
Yeah, DC Comics deck building game. It's not DC Heroes.
Whatever. DC Comics deck building game.
If you say it wrong, when people Googles it to find it, they're going to look for the wrong thing, you butt face.
Googles it. Precious.
Just Googles it.
Just Googles it. So it's a deck building game, which we make fun of a lot on this podcast because we call them gaming masturbation.
Right.
I believe Steve is the one who, I believe you coined that term.
I think actually someone on our Facebook page did.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. So
I like Thunderstone, and that's pretty much it so far.
Yeah,
DC.
I'm not a big card game, and that's always like when Steve talks about Magic, I'm just like, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Uh-huh. I'd have to be Superman to do that, Lois. But anyway, DC deck, everyone, you could play, I think, what, six people?
I think it's 2 to 6.
It's 2 to 6. I would recommend it at least three or higher. I would not recommend
it. 3 is bare minimum.
Yeah.
There's no king making in it, so.
Yeah.
That's our.
So what you get to do is you actually get to be a superhero. They give you the six superheroes. It's like Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Flash, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman.
Aquaman's so good in that game. Although the Flash is really fucking good too.
Oh,
drawing
Flash
extra cards
is fucking amazing.
Yeah, I actually think Delanois' guy was the worst. Who did he have?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder
Woman.
Yeah, I think Dawn Ones was the worst. Wonder Woman. Yeah. And then Redmond's was...
I played Flash and Green Lantern, and I did pretty well with both
of them.
I only
played one game. I had Aquaman. He was really strong. Flash was really strong.
Superman was pretty decent.
Redmond had Cyborg, and he seemed mediocre.
Yeah, it's whatever. You get a bunch of them. No, Cyborg wasn't a character. Cyborg was one of the... he was one of the guys that you could pull.
No, it's both. Because there's Aquaman you could pull and Aquaman the
whatever
card. Whatever.
Aquaman!
I don't know. I remember that your character's ability and my character's ability were good. Other ones, not so much.
You get each character has ability, and it's usually related to the deck. So what you do is you get five cards. You lay out your five cards. You start off with a starting deck, and you lay out five cards, and the codes cards generate power. And you use the power to either buy other heroes or gadgets or defeat the villain.
Yeah, it's a standard deck building mechanics.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then when you buy stuff, you add it to your deck, and then you can lay out your other five cards. You use those abilities to defeat the villains. And whoever has the most points at the end, because each card is point level, wins. It was really fun, really quick. You could play a game in about a half hour to 45 minutes.
Yeah, it was very fast, very easy.
Even with six people, we had six people playing at one point, or was it five? We had five people playing at one point, and the game did not go longer than a half hour.
Nope. I actually think it would be longer if you did one versus one. I think that would be the longest game.
Well, it would take a while to... And I guarantee you that would be a buyout of the bank before it was defeated the villains.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It depends. If somebody got like a royal flush flip off the top, they might just win, though.
There's multiple ways of winning. You can win through either deck building itself or defeating the villains. So you could like build up by getting like members of the Suicide Squad or... utility belts, or by defeating as many more villains,
or by getting Bizarro and collecting the weakness penalty cards, because they're not penalty cards and you have Bizarro am number one.
Bad hello. That's what he says instead of goodbye.
Fucking Bizarro.
I fucking hate Bizarro.
There's been some incarnations of Bizarro that aren't too bad.
Yeah,
the goofy one that's like everything, it like comes from backwards land, like that one's terrible.
Meanwhile, at the Legion of Doom.
No, you did it wrong. It's meanwhile at the Legion of Doom. There you go.
Solomon Grundy won't pay its due. Let me get a seahorse to ride.
Meanwhile, I'm wearing no pants.
That's the way we should start off the podcast. How about what I'm going to do is after we finish this, we're going to do it. Meanwhile, at Game Classy.
Oh, yeah. Meanwhile, at Game Classy.
Yeah. We'll do that. We'll put that. Well, I'll get that recorded separately, and we'll put that into the pod at the opening so that one guy can't bitch because it's.
No, you got to use the Scat Bros for the opening.
Yes, I know. The Scat Bros.
Give your love to a cowboy man. He will love you as hard as he can. Ha! Shoot him up. Ha! Ride.
Because, you know, there's one thing we need to make this podcast, it's more homoerotic.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm always trying to achieve the level of excellence that I saw in Pumping Iron, which is by far the greatest homoerotic masterpiece of any generation.
Rocky 3.
I think Pumping Iron beats
slow
it.
Slow running on the beach and then the hugging.
Dude, Pumping Iron still beats it.
You think? Yeah. More than Rocky? Well, there we go. Our next Facebook...
the Facebook poll.
Poll.
Which is more homoerotic masterpiece?
Road. Yeah.
Pumping Iron?
Or Rocky 3. I still say Rocky 3, but right. Whatever. I mean, Rocky 3's homoerotic. Rocky 4 is self-masturbatory. So
Rocky 4 is with Drago, right?
Yeah.
I must break you.
So good.
It is really good.
Hearts on fire.
If you guys could like me, how could we all can't get along? Within.
2 years later, communism falls. That's all I'm saying. Rocky IV ended communism.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, well, I didn't hit Hearts on Fire. It was a sweet-ass song.
It was a sweet-ass song. All right, so that's about it for this podcast. We could go a little bit longer than an hour because I have extra bandwidth, and people are really demanding episode 21 and episode 9 come back for Star Wars. That's the Star Wars one that people want back.
Really?
I don't know why.
All we did
was talk about how much we hate Star Wars.
Maybe it's because a lot of people hate Star Wars.
Well, so, you know, as long as I got this extra time, I want to bring this out there. You know what's really grinding my gears lately about Star Wars?
The Star Wars miniatures game, because it's selling so fucking well.
Is it? Wait, X-Wing?
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, that doesn't bother me. That's actually a pretty fun game. Oh. No, it's the books, the Vader and Son books and Vader and Daughter books. Have you seen these?
Mm-mm.
This guy, great artist, did a whole series of children books where it's Luke and Vader, like if Vader wasn't an evil guy and hanging out with Luke like it's his actual son. It's this whole thing about like fathers and sons. It burns me so bad because it's like Vader is an awful human being. He killed lots and lots of people. He's a fascist. That's like doing a Hitler and Son book and being like, oh, look, it's cute. It's Hitler and his little kid, you know. It drives me crazy how much people love this shit. I don't know.
Dude, dude, people don't fucking consider Darth Vader a villain.
Which bothers me, because Darth Vader is a pretty cool fucking villain. Like, in the original trilogy, Vader's a pretty cool villain.
All right. So this is the thing about – interesting thing. When a fandom and when a property is so memed out –
yeah.
Like Star Wars is. Star Wars is memed beyond recognition at
especially
this point.
Especially with Commander Cody.
Period. Just out of beyond recognition. Yeah. All of the impact or weight that any of the characters had is gone.
Yeah, and that's why
Darth Vader has been reduced to a dude who looks sweet and goes... Beyond that, you can put him in any situation now.
Yeah.
He's not a scary villain. He's a fucking... Like if a little kid... Well, maybe not.
Little kids aren't afraid of Darth Vader anymore.
No one is afraid of Darth Vader.
Or they don't get the same thing of standing up to Vader. Like a little kid be like, that's Darth Vader.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we gotta fight him because he's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Instead, they'll just be like, sup, Vader? You wanna get tacos?
What kind of tacos? Are they the cool ranch tacos?
You're my friend now. We're having soft tacos later. That could be on your shirt for your micro armor. We're friends now. Let's get soft tacos
We're
later.
Soft tacos later.
There we
he
go.
He wants more carrots and breadcrumbs.
I don't know what that's even from.
It's cat bug, baby.
I don't know what that is.
That's fine.
Is it? I'll put it on. Is it one of your cartoons?
I'll put it on the Facebook.
Is it Adventure Time?
It's Bravest Warriors.
Oh, okay. Did you hear? With Netflix, Justice League Unlimited is going to be on Netflix.
Nice.
Now.
That's a great fucking series. And it's so good.
I'm waiting for Batman.
Even with the Bat Embargo, it was still awesome.
The Bat Embargo?
Yeah. They basically, to make the story as short as fucking possible, there was a Batman cartoon that was running concurrently with the Justice League. And because of that Batman cartoon, they couldn't use Batman villains in the Justice League with the exception of the Joker. So if you watch that series, which is a great series, the only Batman villain that shows up at all is the Joker.
I didn't watch too much of Justice League Unlimited because at that time, I believe I was getting laid.
I mean, I think I actually had sex while watching an episode of Justice League Unlimited. And I was like, yeah, get him, Superman. Yeah.
Get him, cowboy. What was that cowboy's name? I don't remember. Fucking who the fuck
the
cares?
Writer?
Who the fuck cares?
Well, there was a fucking awesome episode where the Question and the cowboy, I think he was like Desert Rider or some shit. It was the Question, Desert Rider, and like two or three other like totally shit tier superheroes. They had to actually band together and fight a real supervillain because all of the real Justice Leaguers were away. It was awesome.
I love Rorschach. I wish it was more Rorschach.
I fucking hate Rorschach.
I'm not in here with you. You're in here with me.
Do it.
All right. So anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for your planet arbitrary needs. Follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. I like how, by the way, that this ending is getting more and more slurred the more I do it. It's like, go to planetarbitrary.com for your planet arbitrary needs.
It's getting longer.
Follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page, facebook.com/GameClassy.
Dildos. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. If you really hate Games Workshop, it seems to be the place to bash it. So
yeah, baby!
That's right. There's more of us than there are of you.
No, there's not. There's entire forums dedicated to Games Workshop.
Yeah, and most of those forums are full of nothing but bitching about Games Workshop.
A lot of them are.
If you see a Games Workshop forum, no one's going to be like, I love Games Workshop. They're going to be like, I hate it.
Yeah, it's always the loudest people.
It's just the paradox of Workshop.
Yeah.
Like, you got guys who like vehemently hate what they're doing, but they fucking stay in it anyway.
Like
we talked about on the Lost Cast, the douchebag tournament player, the douchebag 40K player.
Yeah, the douchebag 40K player, the douchebag 40K tournament player.
Yep.
Flips the table.
Yep.
And
yeah,
like,
no, like, you fucking take it back. Take it back.
Coherency.
Yeah.
Coherency. Yeah.
Every Adepticon.
Every
Adepticon I was at a 40K tournament or near a 40K tournament, there was always at least one, sometimes more, just massive meltdowns that like normally you could hear, like, no, you can't hear anything because the room's all loud, people are chit-chatting, and then suddenly you'd hear some guy start shouting, the room would go completely silent, everyone would turn, and the guy would just lose his shit in the middle of a giant crowd of people.
All right. Steve, until next time.
Watch out for my body rolls. High kicks.
Body roll.
Body massage.